Take your Bibles with me tonight and turn to the Gospel of John chapter 13 as we prepare for the communion service. I think the single most difficult thing to do as a Christian is to forgive. Maybe the second, the most difficult thing is probably to be forgiven. But to forgive and to be forgiven are the heart of what it means to be a Christian, and yet Baptists in particular don't do them very well. And so I want to talk tonight about what I consider to be a passage on forgiveness. John chapter 13, please follow with me as I begin reading in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and it says girded himself. That means he put it around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then when he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to the Lord, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to also wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. For so many years, as I read this passage and studied it, it was dealt with as simply a lesson in humility, that Jesus was talking about exercising humility towards the other disciples. I always found that vaguely unsettling, because what did that have to do with the figure of washing? Now, that has to do with washing the feet, but what does that have to do with being clean? Why does Jesus emphasize in this passage cleanliness if it's just humility that's being dealt with? I think the whole emphasis of this passage is forgiveness, is cleansing his disciples, and the humility that it requires to do that. It's not simply an act of humility, it was an act of cleansing that required humility. Notice a couple things. One, he tells his disciples to wash one another's feet. In verse 14, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. That means that you and I have something to do here. We don't do this as part of a service, okay? This was never instituted in the New Testament. To be an ordinance of the church, something we do publicly, it has to be something that not only Jesus did, but that he commanded to be done in the church. Well, this is not something he commanded to be done in the church. This is not something the disciples did in the church. So we don't do it that way. It's a command for individuals. What it involves is what he told Peter, first in verse 7, right now you don't know what I'm doing. Okay, they hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. They were still, they were believers in the Old Testament, and the Holy Spirit hadn't led them into all truth. And Peter says, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you will have no part with me. that indicates that he has to do something to Peter in order for Peter to have a relationship with him. Now, that's not just humility. He's saying, I have to cleanse you in some fashion if I can have a relationship with you. And if I don't do this, you and I will not have a relationship. That's not a lesson about humility. That's a lesson about cleansing. And even more, when Peter says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head, Jesus said, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, and then he'll be completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. What Jesus indicates is that I'm not dealing with something that has to deal with your eternal salvation. This isn't something that I have to do at this point to wash all of you. These were saved individuals. Okay, this is before Christ's death, but there were believers in the Old Testament, and the disciples were saved under an Old Testament dispensation. So he's talking about the fact that you're clean, but you've got to wash the feet. What's that all about? Well, before you went to an event, you bathed. But there's only one part of you that got dirty over and over again. That was your feet. And the idea of washing the feet is cleaning that part of you that periodically gets dirty, that part of you that gets dirty even in the coming. And I think it's a picture of forgiveness, that Jesus is saying, no, I've taken care of things. But there has to be a regular, there has to be a necessary, periodic cleansing and clearing of those things that have accumulated along the way. When we talk about being forgiven by God, we're not saying that every time we sin, Jesus has to die again, that what happens on the cross has to happen again. This table has nothing to do with Jesus being sacrificed another time. But we're saying that even though all of our sins were forgiven at the cross, when we were born again, all that forgiveness became ours. We still have to periodically come to God and say, here are the things that have happened that have dirtied up my life. Here are the things that have accumulated, and I want to get them clean, and I want to get them straight. And I think that that's one of the great lessons of the communion table. It's a time to bring you up short. It's a time to say, Lord, I've been saved and I'm forgiven, but look at these things that are happening in my life. Look at these things that I've picked up. Look at these things that are dirtying my feet right now. That's why we give you a chance before the bread is distributed to look at your life and to say, Lord, I want to get this straight. Lord, I want to look at my feet and all the things that have collected there as I walk through this world. And I want to get things straight right now. And I think that's what this is a picture of, because it's leading right into the communion service. But even more, notice what we talked about. He says down here, you've got to do it for one another. He doesn't only stop with the fact that they're going to need to have a continual sanctification, a continual clearing of their sins. He said, you're going to need to wash one another's feet. You're going to need to forgive each other. When you come to the communion table, one of the first thoughts that ought to be on your mind is, who haven't I forgiven? I don't know if you have somebody that comes to mind. I've got one person who comes to mind very clearly tonight. Very clearly. You know, there's no doubt in my mind who I have to forgive tonight. But the Bible says when you can't come to God and praise Him for His forgiveness and you not forgive other people, are you greater than your master? Can you? Jesus did it, and you can call Him master and you not do it? I'd like you to search your hearts tonight and ask who it is that you haven't forgiven. Who it is that maybe it's somebody you forgave, but you allowed your feet to get dirty again. You allowed that anger, or that pick, or that hurt. You know, you need to forgive people for the same thing in your own heart over and over again, because you'll think about them and get mad about it all over again. I've actually seen that happen, and you know, it happens to mothers a lot. You know, they get angry about something and they say, oh well, it'll be okay. Then when they find out their kids are okay, they get angry all over again just thinking about it. It makes me so mad just to think about it. Tonight, you need to look at your heart and to say, maybe my feet got dirty again. Do I need to forgive somebody? How can I come here and say thank you for clearing me of every sin, and yet there's somebody you won't clear of a sin? You can't do that. In a Baptist church, if among the members of this body there's someone that you have things not right with. You need to get it straight. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone in the family. Maybe it's just an acquaintance. Get it straight tonight. Forgive them. Let me tell you what it's going to involve. Okay? First of all, notice what Jesus did. It says in verse 2, the supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus did this knowing that he would be betrayed. Jesus was coming to his disciples and showing them about humility and forgiveness, knowing full well in his night that not only Simon, but every last one of those guys was going to betray him. That Peter would deny him three times. That everybody would run and follow from a distance. Knowing that he'd have to stand alone. That these men who had committed to be with him forever would leave him. You can't forgive somebody because you know they're never going to do it again. Forgiveness can't be based on the fact that, well, I'm pretty sure that won't happen again. Then it's not forgiveness. If you know somebody's going to pay a debt, you're not forgiving them the debt. It's forgiveness when you say, I know full well this may happen again. I know full well how weak you are. I know full well what kind of person you are, but I'm forgiving you because of who and what we are together in Jesus Christ. That's forgiveness. And he does it. In fact, those are the same words, by the way, that are used of communion. The very night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup and said, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you got to understand that forgiveness can't be a fact that, well, since you've agreed to make all of these changes and you won't do this to me anymore, this particular person I have in mind is not going to change in the foreseeable future. And I'm not going to get my chance to help this individual change. I thought for sure I was going to get a chance to have a word with this individual that might set them on the straight and true, or at least make me feel better about it. I'm not getting that chance. But I have to forgive them. Not because they're going to get better. Not because, oh well, I can't do it. But because I can't step in front of Jesus tonight and have him forgive me for all the crappy, rotten, terrible, horrible, burdensome things that put him to death. Jesus didn't die for small things. Jesus died for things that are, in your life and my life, the Bible calls them a stench in the nostrils of God. Paul uses the term dung of those things that went before. Sometimes we look at our life and look at others and say, well, I never did this and I never did that. Jesus died to forgive me for things that were like dung, that were horrible, much more offensive than anything anybody's done to me. And I can't partake of this table tonight and not forgive people for their smaller faults against me and celebrate what God has done in my life. Doesn't work. Got to be doing it with the knowledge that they're still going to do it. They're still weak. Notice what he did. He rose from the supper, laid aside his garments. Notice the plural there. He's going to pick up the plural after the crucifixion. But during the crucifixion, they're going to part his garment, singular. What he's talking about by garments is everything but his loincloth. He dresses just like a servant. Just like a coolie, just like the lowest of the low, he takes off all of his garments to do what he does. He then puts a towel on, and then he washes their feet. That's humility. And whenever I meet foot-washing Baptists, and they want to say they're doing it according to the Scriptures, I point them to that verse. Ah, so you're washing feet according to the Scriptures, are you? Well, check this one out. Do it sometime. They love it. But it's an act of humility. He got up and washed their feet, but he took off his clothes and dressed like a servant to do it. You're not going to be able to forgive someone from on high. You're not going to be able to forgive someone unless it's a recognition of humility, unless it's a recognition that that person is just as important to God as I am. You don't forgive somebody when you have this feeling of superiority. They've got a problem that I don't have. They sinned against me, and I wouldn't do that. The only way you can forgive a person is by putting yourself underneath of them, by letting this mind be in you that was first in Jesus Christ our Savior, who didn't consider his position in heaven something to hold on to, But he set aside all of the splendor of heaven and took upon the form of a servant. And then he forgave us. He died to forgive us for our sins. The only way you can forgive somebody is by putting yourself underneath of them. That's why forgiveness doesn't happen among Baptists. It's plain, flat-out pride. We have been wounded and we've been offended, and we jolly well like that position because they're down there now. And we can look at the top of their head instead of having to look up their nostril, look up at them. We can be down there, and that's that position of superiority where we look down. You won't forgive somebody unless you humble yourself. That's what it takes to forgive. God did not provide our forgiveness unless the second member of the Godhead humbled himself. And that's what Jesus does here. He shows them. What must they have thought? This is their teacher. This is their master. And the humility is not just the point of this passage. It's a necessary step in forgiveness. To wash their feet, he has to do this. He goes from one to the other to the other. Comes to Simon Peter, as always. No, Lord, you'll never do it. How many times did Simon Peter tell God no? Every time Jesus would say, this is what I have to do, Simon Peter would say, no, never me. No, no, no. I'm going to the cross. I must die. No, let that never happen to you, he said in Matthew 16. Here Jesus says, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. If I don't forgive you and cleanse you, you and I can't have a relationship together. I'll tell you something. There's no human relationship that doesn't include forgiveness. You can't have a relationship with the other people in this room, in this church, if you have not forgiven them. It doesn't exist. It's fractured. You're not sharing with them. You can't be connected with them. And Jesus is telling Peter, if I don't forgive you, for which this is symbolic, then I could never have that relationship. This is called a communion service, because we share with one another what our Lord did. And any person in here who has someone else in this church that they haven't forgiven, you can't really take part in a communion service. There's no fellowship there. There is no identity with that other person. There's a withdrawing and a withholding of yourself from them. That's not Jesus. That's not Christianity. That's not what this church, and that's not what this word, and that's not what our God is all about. It's all about forgiveness. Notice what happens. He says, if I wash you, I wash your feet, but you're clean, but not all of you. Even in the Greek, there's a double meaning there. I'll wash your feet, you're clean, but not all of you, can mean one of two things. If the you is singular, and he's talking to Simon Peter, it means you are clean, but not all of you. Your feet are dirty. Okay, that's one meaning. If the you is plural, what it means is you as a group are clean, but not all of you. There's one of you who isn't clean. That he means both of them, because you see the emphasis on the second. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, you, and here it's the plural, are not all clean. He says, not all of you have a relationship with me. Not every one of you sitting in this group at this moment has this relationship and has this forgiveness. Every single time I look out over a congregation for the communion service, I have to realize that that may be true. Not every one of you has a relationship with Jesus Christ. Just being in the room where Christ is doesn't give you a relationship with him. And you have to ask yourself, where do I stand with Jesus? Once you answer that, what you do is easy. Because he says, if I'm your Lord and Master, you don't have a choice. You will do this. But you have to ask yourself, am I clean? I find that many times people have a very difficult time forgiving others because they themselves have never experienced that complete forgiveness. Sometimes because they're unsaved. Sometimes because as Christians, the poorest and the hardest lesson that we teach our young people is how to be forgiven. If you can't be forgiven and relish that forgiveness and live in it, you have a very difficult time feeling confident enough to forgive someone else. When you feel dirty and unclean and unworthy, you'll never be able to exercise the humility that's necessary to forgive somebody else. You can't do it.
It's only when you're confident in your Savior that you can exercise that humility. Look what it says about Jesus. Before in verse 4, before he takes off his garments, look at verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, then he rose from the supper. Why tell you that? It's because he could do that because he knew who he was, where he came from, and where he was going. So this little bit of humility didn't mean much to him. It wasn't very hard to him because he knew who he was and where he was going. He came from God, he was God, he was going back to his Father, and this was just business to do. I'll tell you, when you stop and think about as a believer what God has done for you, where you've come from and where you're going, humility becomes a whole lot easier. When you understand what it means and saying, this is what I used to be. This is what God is going to take me to. How hard is it to forgive somebody for something they did for 10 years here on the earth when you realize you're going to spend 1,000,000 years at your Savior's feet praising him for the forgiveness you had? Sometimes people say, well, they've been doing this for years. So what? You're going to spend eternity in heaven. What are a few years down here? Jesus was able to, I say able, his humility grew out of the fact that he knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. And everything that he did in this world was so temporary and so natural, that was the only reason he was here. That's where forgiveness comes from. Notice what he says in verse 17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It doesn't do you a bit of good to sit here tonight and not to walk out having forgiven somebody. Blessings don't come to the hearers, they come to the doers, we're told in James. This is a table. This is a table for those of you who are sitting here tonight who are born again. And for those of you who are born again who want to celebrate forgiveness, who want to live in it, live by it, and show it to other people. If you can't forgive other people, you don't participate in this table. Don't do it. The Bible says if you partake of this in an unworthy fashion, that's something that's offensive to God. But blessed is the person, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do these things. Give some thought to that tonight as we partake of the Lord's table. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I praise you for it. I thank you for everything that you've done for me. I pray that I might see forgiveness in my life. Peace, a sense of simply doing for others a small way what you've done for me in great quantity. I pray, Father, that we as believers, as friends, as lovers, Father, as members of one another and of the same body, that we might freely and openly do the things for others that you've done for us. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.